This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you think Keegan's shot was going in?
No, I didn't. Like it, like I get it. It looked good when he had to do. Because was that Ant who closed on him
when
Nas
he had to Reed
do that?
First,
oh, it was Nas,
and then Ant, and that's the thing.
Well, who caused him to?
Nas Reed made him do the pump fake.
Oh, okay.
And then he took one step, and I was like, oh, he about to get a wide open three.
Yeah, the first look,
and
I thought
Ant
he had
comes
it.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah,
he's got a dog.
So that's the one. The first look, I was like, when he made the first move, I was like, oh, he's got a look.
Yeah,
and then he didn't. Ant. So as soon as I saw Ant close, it was like, oh.
So there's.
I don't think that's it.
Here's a question I'll ask. In hindsight, it's 2020.
Yeah.
I was watching that play with Leo. Shout out to our guy Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're in a timeout, I said, "Hey man, you taking Sabonis out right here?" And he's like, "Nah, man, you got to set the screen." I was like, "Yeah, you know, I understand." But my thought process was, I want them to have to guard everybody, and maybe also my thought process without saying it was, I'm going for the three. I'm not going for the tie. So I want them to have to guard everybody.
Even though Domas was 3 or 4, you don't think they'd buy that?
No, if I was,
would you have wanted Mike Finch to guard Julius Randle on a final possession for?
I know
Minnesota to get the win.
I know the math of their shooting percentage is different, but I look at Julius Randle as a much more capable 3-point shooter than Domas Sabonis. So yes, I would want to guard Julius Randle if I was Finch. I'd be like, don't be afraid to help off of Domas. Like, don't be afraid. Like, don't let Keegan get a good look. If you got to come off and he kicks it to Sabonis with 1 second left, I'll take that. But I'm not letting Keegan get a shot. And to a certain degree, that's kind of what happened. It wasn't a three, but Domas was wide open under the basket.
Mm-hmm.
He was wide open, and there just wasn't enough time to find him and hit and all this other stuff. But I my thought process was, if you get a Trey Lyles out there or you get a McDermott, they can't help off in that situation because all those guys are capable of shooting a three. And it wasn't a big deal. It was just a thought of, man, maybe I want 3-point shooters all over that floor right there.
Do we care who gets the last shot?
I don't.
No. I mean, Keegan – like, are you suggesting Keegan shouldn't have had the last shot, or are you talking about De'Aaron's?
I'm saying, like, for that last one, the 2 seconds left, like, do you want the ball in De'Aaron's hands?
I want the ball in the open guy's hands. I'm not trying to cop out the answer. I feel like, I honestly feel like any one of those guys who were in that closing lineup with Malik, De'Aaron, DeMar, Domas, and Keegan, I feel like any of those guys can win a basketball game.
They have enough shot makers where I'm not tripping. The only one I wouldn't have necessarily wanted in that situation would probably Domas. That's probably why I thought about taking him out, because I'm thinking of a jump shot in that moment. I'm thinking of, you know, a contested jump shot. And unless they do what Tennessee did, the Lady Vols did South Carolina.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Domas.
It was your girl, wasn't it?
It was.
Cardozo.
It was. Yeah, Cardozo. And I even understand that. She had never shot a three in her life.
Well, she has now.
And she banked it in.
Yeah.
If she shoots 10 of those, how many
it
times?
It doesn't matter. She fired Kelly Harper with that shot.
Look, I understand that, but I understand. I understand.
The woman lost her job shortly thereafter.
on a one in a million shot. Literally a one in a million shot. Well, the odds were with you.
Well,
and you lost. Well. But the whole thing was, to answer Jesse's question, they got enough shot makers where I'm not. I would have a pecking order, but if arguments say Keegan is fourth, I'm not tripping that he got a look.
I think Jesse hates something that happened last night.
No, honestly, I was pretty happy with the way the game turned out. I was more encouraged than discouraged, even though they lost.
And that's kind of the frustrating thing too. Is you it's tough to, like, I don't know what the pulse of the fan base is, to be honest with you. I didn't live on Twitter last night because I had to watch the game again, like, or for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people are upset or people are just like, all right, it's 1 of 82. You know, when you lose, though, the energy is not the right word, but, you know, attention is a little heightened. Mm-hmm. Going into the Laker game. And, you know, I think it'll be heightened until you feel like, oh, the Kings are 4-1, 5-2, something to where you feel like, okay, this team is good. Mm-hmm. Like right now, you know, the Kings beat the Lakers. Hypothetically, the Kings beat the Lakers. It's not like, woo, here we go. It's like, all right, good. There isn't any of the near 18,000 people that are going to be inside the Golden 1 Center on Monday that aren't going to be nervous about playing the Portland Trailblazers. And that's another hurdle. It feels like the Kings are going to have to clear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. You know, no one, I don't know, at this stage of the game, in the second, third game of the season, whatever it winds up being for Portland at the time, I don't know that there are any true, like, bad basketball teams yet. There are teams that still feel good. There are teams that are still hitting on all cylinders, teams that are healthy, all of that different stuff. But, like, in the end, I don't think we really believe that Portland's going to be very good.
Right.
And so this game is going to, it's going to sit in Kings fans' stomachs coming up on Monday. Because right. There's just multiple hurdles to clear, knowing that, okay, you're 0-1, there's still a lot of unanswered questions. Even though last night's game was really good, mm-hmm. even though it felt like a heavyweight-ish fight, mm-hmm. you saw a lot of things that you liked. Still, in the end, you lost by 2.
Yeah.
Or you lose by 20. You still lost.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I mean, no one likes to lose, but it's not like they were getting bad shots at the end. They just didn't hit
mm-hmm.
their open shots. And it's like, all right, well, just take the L that day.
Sometimes you have to live with that. But I would understand any Kings fan who said, yeah, sometimes you got to hit those.
Yeah.
Like, you've missed a lot of big shots. You need to hit that shot.
And I think they will.
We need De'Aaron walk-offs. We need I'm effing nice back. Like, we need those types of things.
I think they will. And that's the difference between this year and last year. Like, some of the shots DeRozan took towards the end, I was like, oh, yeah, no. The turnaround, that's a shot that's right there. That's a shot that he normally makes. Even De'Aaron's pull-up. I mean, both of those shots were just back rim. Right on, back rim. Monk had a little floater late in that game. A little runner, 1 foot runner, back rim, look right on. So I think they'll eventually hit those shots on a consistent basis. And I think this is going to be one of the best. When they get in their groove, they start to feel good and they start to understand what they're doing and what they're trying to do. I'm standing by what I said. It's going to be one of the best offenses in the game. They got so many places they can go. They've got so many weapons. That when they figure out what they want to do and how they want to go about it, there's not going to be enough teams that can stop what they're trying to do. And then you've got the added aspect of DeMar DeRozan will get to the foul line. He'll get to even if you're like, oh, we got McDaniels on him. All right, McDaniels is guarding him. He knows how to create contact. He knows how to get to the line. It's a lot. I'm not saying they're unstoppable, but I'm saying it's going to be a lot to deal with on a night-in, night-out basis.
Yeah, I feel like they did well for not being comfortable yet because it feels like they were trying to not force DeMar to get his shots in the fourth quarter, but just they're trying to figure out a flow and what's going to work.
Yeah, I think DeMar said something like that. Let's actually – sorry.
I think I know what you were talking about, what he said.
Let's go to our good friend Sean Cunningham here, and our friends over at Fox 40. Here is DeMar DeRozan post game.
Hey, DeMar, just how comfortable do you feel you were? I mean, to be in that position to, you know, inbound the ball, try to make a play there at the game on the line like that.
I feel good. It's comfortable. You know, just going on my reads, understanding what was going to be open. You know, got a good look. You know. Even with a double clutch, you know, we're in and out.
I mean, Domas obviously talked about just the way that third quarter ended and when they got back into it. Do you feel like you guys are able to sustain a game when if you go cold like that on the offensive end?
Yeah, you know, it's first game. It's a great learning experience, you know, because that lapse in that game, I think that's what, you know, made it tough on us. You know, I felt like the whole game up to that point, we had the whole game in control. You know, we played well. We defended well. You know, they only hurt us when we hurt ourselves and gave them open shots. But, you know, as long as we limit that moment, that stretch that we had in the third quarter, you know, we pull out a victory. You know, but like I said, it's a great learning experience.
I know the result is not what you guys want, but the reception you got tonight from the fans and just the environment of being inside of Golden 1, just what was like that?
It's amazing, man. I always say to still be playing in this league, as long as I've been playing in this league, and still be appreciated, still wanted by the fans, and still be able to perform at a high level. You know, I don't take none of these moments for granted at all. You know, we only get a certain amount of time to play this game, and you know, we all want to be loved and appreciated for what we do on the court. So, you know, that was great.
Obviously, the first game, and you mentioned it being a learning experience. Just stylistically, how would you gauge where you guys are at with what you'd like to do, joining a team that shoots a lot of threes, does a lot of DHO stuff? Where are you guys at in that process?
I think, you know, we was rusty with a lot of things, but the effort was there. You know, we competed, we moved the ball. You know, once we get that rhythm with one another, you know, I think everything fit in perfectly. You know, understanding what guys like the ball, get to their spots, you know, everything. You know, but for the most part, you know, I'm happy how aggressive we was, how we competed, you know, and it just sucks we didn't get the victory.
I'll leave that there. You can hear in his voice like he's frustrated that they didn't get the win. And I think part of that is he knows that they played well. And it's probably the toughest thing for a competitor is knowing. I mean, I'm not suggesting that DeMar thinks the Sacramento Kings played perfect yesterday, but knowing that you played well against a really, really good team, I think those are the toughest losses. Like, we talk about blowouts, talk about close losses. Sometimes you get into a close game that you just kind of like fall into. Sometimes both teams stink and the game is just close. Mm-hmm. Those were two really good basketball teams that were playing really good basketball last night, and I think those are the games that are toughest to lose. And I feel like you could hear that in DeMar's voice last night.
Yeah, I also think you hear, and he speaks in a certain way of, you know, an optimistic outlook, where he's like, we played good. It's unfortunate that we lost, but we've got another gear, another level that I think we could hit. And speaking of how he feels, right? Once we start to feel comfortable playing in the offense together, and, you know, some of the things we get to get a rhythm for, he said, I think he had a quote where he said, it's going to be scary. Mm-hmm. It's going to get real spooky out there once we start getting it. So while I agree with what you're saying, there's also a level of confidence that he probably gained from that game, from that experience of like, all right, we're still, you know, filling each other out on the offensive end, but we were pretty good last night. Like, we played a good game. So, I took away the same thing from that, what I just spoke about. Like, they got a lot of things that they can get better at, mm-hmm. and they were also pretty good last night.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And it was just the basketball. It was like this is what we talked about last week. What will we see, you know, from this team? And I think you agreed. I talked about it. Like, they're going to come Thursday, regular-ish rotation going to be there. This is going to be a basketball game.
And it's like that end play too at the end where he drew the foul. Like, they played good defense for like 23.9 mm-hmm. seconds, just drew the foul at the end. Like,
there's two guys in the league that can make that play.
Yeah.
Maybe there's another one I'm not thinking of, but it's Bron and Ant-Man.
If you get that stop there, it's probably completely different.
Yeah, 100%. We'll come back. I think there is an element to DeMar's game that concerns some people coming into the season that I do think reared its head last night. Also, we haven't talked about Malik yet. We'll talk about Malik Monk.
When we talk about Malik, I saw something that was a stupid question and a stupid outlook. But in fairness, we're talking about the game. I'll bring it up.
Okay, Kenny brings up stupid questions when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. My bad, Tasha. Tasha said she needed more music on Flashback Friday, and I didn't have any ready. So I got you. I got you next break, Tasha.
Gotta listen to Tasha. She with us.
Yeah, she. She definitely is. She definitely is. Let's start with DeMar, and then we'll get to Malik. I mentioned there was one little thing that I think people were concerned about headed into the season regarding DeMar DeRozan that may have shown up a bit last night. DeMar, not known for being a big, nasty defender, he was on Julius a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Julius hates Sacramento.
I don't either.
I don't know why he hates the Sacramento Kings, but that man scored 33 points last night on 13-17 shooting, 5-of-6 from three. He was brilliant. I think Julius Randle's a really, really good ball player.
Guy turns into a combination of Charles Barkley and Chris Bosh when he plays the Kings.
But I don't get it. And I wonder if part of that was, you know, the dreaded lack of size that the Sacramento Kings have against a player like Julius.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, they didn't necessarily have a true matchup for him. But that's Julius Randle, too. Like, he's a matchup problem with what he can do on the perimeter and, you know, at his size. You know what I mean? He's
that is a huge matchup problem, it felt like.
Last night? No,
yeah.
Yeah. No? I thought DeRozan did okay. Like, Julius did a lot of his stuff in the first half when it was kind of like what they talked about. Like, oh, he's shooting threes. Okay, let him shoot the threes. And he was cooking. And at that point, you got him, you know, feeling good about himself. And It was what they say on Inside the NBA, hide the women and children, or get the women and children out of the house. The house is on fire. Like, that's what it was. But DeMar, at this point in his career, can guard a guy like Julius Randle. He's, you know, got his grown man veteran body. You know, it's, in some ways, it's a little better for him because he doesn't have to keep up with a smaller or a quicker small forward or shooting guard or anything like that. So it's not what you want to do, but I don't think in the end of the game, they went to Julius quite a few times. I thought DeMar did a good job. I thought he did a good job in that fourth quarter guarding Julius Randle, kept him off the boards. It's just one of those things where Julius had a great game, man. He was hitting on all three levels.
Okay. We mentioned DeMar and Keegan played roughly 43 minutes each last night. Mike said that's something he's got to be better at. We got a message earlier here. I don't even know what to call this person, but welcome 6B. That's what we'll call you. Does nobody else see how ridiculous Monk's lack of minutes are? I think there's a couple of things to look at there. I don't know that 26 minutes is necessarily a lack of minutes for Malik Monk, but I actually understand what you're saying. You probably want him closer to 30. We've talked about that a lot this offseason, is regardless of what you're doing with Malik, which he, again, did not start, he, again, did close the game. Kevin Huerter played 19 minutes. And another subject of conversation for later in the show, Keon Ellis played 11.
Well, can we go there now?
Sure.
I'm just saying, well, can
we can go there.
Well, because it ties into the question I have, and it ties into Malik Monk.
Okay.
So I saw something earlier today where guy at CBS or whatever, he writes a question, and he asks the question. He says, I'm the only caught the end of the Kings Wolves. Would somebody care to explain to me why Keon Ellis played only 11 minutes? And he's like, he's their only path to surviving on defense. Somebody in the response says, with Monk and Fox on the smaller side, it's hard to play three smalls against the Wolves. And he says, then don't play Monk. I love Monk, but the lineup balance matters. Ant scored 13 points in the fourth quarter because the only King with a prayer defending him was on the bench.
I'm sorry. This is a Kings fan?
No, he's an NBA writer.
Oh.
CBS.
Okay.
So, I think that's ridiculous, but do you think they should have worked Keon Ellis into that game a little bit more, especially
in and the not played quarter? Malik?
I mean,
no,
I guess, I guess somebody got it. I disagree with it too.
I don't think
couldn't
so.
Couldn't take Keegan off, but maybe if you, here's what you do though. If you take Malik off, which I disagree with, you take Malik off for some of that fourth quarter and have Keon out there, you've got probably Keegan guarding Julius Randle, Keon getting some minutes on Ant-Man. And that's what you do. I once again, I completely disagree. I think it's ridiculous. But that's why you say you bring up Keon Ellis's minutes, is where there are minutes to be found right there for Keon in a situation where Ant was cooking.
Yeah, I don't know how you take Malik out. I mean, I guess this goes to, what would that look like on the offensive end then? So if you know what it looks like on the defensive end, what does it look like on the offensive end? Because you just talked about the idea on that last possession of taking Domas out of the final shot that Keegan took to force everyone. You've got to guard everyone because you're going for the three. They've got to guard everybody. And maybe they'd challenge Domas to hit his four or five at that point in the game. In a game like that, with DeMar, I assume, DeMar, De'Aaron, Keegan, and Domas on the floor, how hard are you working against Keon? And are you putting one of those other four players at a disadvantage? Because you can't do that with Malik, and that's always the trade-off. If Malik played defense like Keon or Keon played offense like Malik, there's no conversation to be had here. Like, we know what's happening, but they each have their strong suits.
Right.
And each of their strong suits, I don't know that Malik I don't know that what Malik does on the defensive end creates a disadvantage as much as it isn't as much of an advantage mm-hmm. when Keon is out there. But there probably is a flip side to that, and that's what happens on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. And we can't answer it because we don't know, because it didn't happen. So I don't know. The idea to flippantly just say take Malik Monk out of the game is pretty wild to me, and it's why you don't listen to people who don't cover the Kings on a daily basis. Mm. Because the idea that you just remove Malik Monk from the lineup is wild.
It is. It's ridiculous. But it's also the whole notion of like defense matters. Absolutely. But this is what I kind of push back, where it's like, you need a defender. No. In that situation, this is what I'm always telling people. That people, you need defense. You need defense. Do you need a defender or you need a bucket getter more in that situation? You need somebody that can match up and can go toe-to-toe with these guys on the offensive end, with a Julius Randle, with an Ant-Man. And that's why you don't just say, get a defender in there. No, you're keeping Malik Monk in the game. Because if you don't, number one, a guy like Anthony Edwards, you're probably not stopping him anyway. Like if Ant-Man had 13 in the fourth quarter, and I know this is real simplistic or whatever, maybe it wins you the game, I guess. But if Keon plays more, maybe he gets 11, 10 points in the fourth quarter. Maybe, just for argument's sake. But what did Malik Monk have in the fourth quarter?
I think he had 8, didn't he?
Yeah. Are you getting those same 8 points from Keon Ellis? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm going to take my chances with the bucket getter in that situation. And you got a guy in Keegan and DeRozan, like we started off talking, guarding a Randle. I'm going to take my chances in that situation, as opposed to just going for the just defense guy, at least with this particular Kings team.
I stand corrected. Malik had 4. DeMar had 8. And I mm-hmm. think Domas had 8 as well. Keegan had 6. Nothing from fourth quarter Fox. Mm. He was 0-4 in the fourth quarter.
Mm.
Though he wasn't electric offensively yesterday.
Yeah, he was the start. I thought he was going to have a 30-point night. I think he had 9 points in the first quarter. He was cooking. He was absolutely cooking, and then he just kind of went silent.
Sean Cunningham just had a terrific typo on a tweet. He said, Devin Carter with some, he meant to type shots, but misspelled it.
Uh-oh.
So, so he said, Devin Carter, I'll let you figure out what he wrote, but it says Devin Carter with some stuff. Following today's practice before the Kings head to L.A. Oh, I can't wait for him to notice that.
That's fantastic. Oh, it didn't get fixed?
Not yet.
Oh.
I don't know. It's still on my screen. I mean, maybe he fixed it. I don't know. Let me click on it. Oh, no, he got it. He got it. That's all right, Sean. You're set to notifications. I see everything, buddy. Because I don't think Sean has the little Elon Musk. Oh no, he does. Yeah, he just deleted it. He'll start fresh.
Yeah, delete it early before it starts picking up.
No, but that's an all time. No, that's a good one. sometimes typos can be fun. Devin Carter out there in a sip up social club hoodie or something.
Know, I mean, it's
fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's fine, man. Like, I'll warm up to that kid at some point. He ain't done nothing to me at all.
Get well soon, Devin.
Oh, he's out there shooting.
Yeah.
What month is it? It's the end of October, November, December, January. Oh, okay. I guess. Damn.
He's probably on the Kevin Herter timeline. Huh?
It's January, right?
January, February-ish.
Oh, geez.
Okay. But isn't that what Herter was saying? Herter was saying he was shooting for a while before, mm-hmm. and he just got cleared. He got hurt in March,
mm-hmm.
and he was shooting in September, but still wasn't cleared to play basketball.
Well, that makes I guess that makes sense. Get your range of motion back and mm-hmm. kind of keep it moving. We just talked about Keon Ellis. Let's go to the locker room and check out Keon's chain. And
I like that chain.
hear what Keon had to say. Again, courtesy
look at that wrist, too.
Sean Cunningham in Fox Sports.
Just, I guess, overall thoughts on that one tonight.
To be clear, this is Fox 40.
How good and bad, I guess.
My fault.
Oh, you're good.
I think you could definitely take away some positives from that game. Obviously, you know what the Timberwolves bring. You know, they're a tough team, not going to lay down. So I definitely like the fight that we had. I think there's a couple stretches that we wish we would have back. But overall, I think what we've seen tonight, we're not really worried. I think we're on the right track.
Did that feel different from what you saw in preseason?
Yeah, for sure. I think everyone knows just like the intensity is up. We all know like this is another level. You have to step it up. So the seriousness in it, I think it was at another level tonight.
And obviously Julius and Edwards, they got off. I mean, what did you see from them? Were you pleased with the defensive effort you guys had?
I mean, obviously you want to make it as tough as you can on them, but you know, they're pros at the end of the day. They kind of got it going. You kind of want to shut that off. But, I mean, it's tough and kind of try to make it tough on them. But, I mean, sometimes they just get it going. So, I mean, they had it going tonight and kind of just got to tip your hats to them. They made some tough plays.
That steal in the third, do you wish that you maybe held it instead of going for that floater?
Honestly, no, but I do wish that I seen Malik. I didn't see Malik wide open. He let me know for sure shortly after, but I did not see him wide open. I probably would have passed it, but definitely not mad that I took it, though.
A couple guys mentioned the start of the third is kind of one of those turning points. What was your perspective on what happened there?
To be honest, I can't necessarily remember what happened at the start of the third, but I do know that is where you kind of want to, you know, make that first punch in the second half to either, you know, extend your lead or, you know, impose your will, I would say. So, can't necessarily remember right now what happened, but, yeah.
And just a little bit of a different role for you. Just how was it different going into this one, and what was your assessment of how you played?
I mean, I think it's pretty simplified for me. Just kind of go out there, play defense. If I have to initiate, I will. That's no problem. So just go out there, space the floor or whatever. Nothing really too different. I think last year, you know, with guys down, I had to do a little more. So, but at times I probably will have to do more. So, it's no big difference. Just kind of, you know, adjust depending on how the game's going.
Keon Ellis, right there following, last night's game, always a good talker. I would like to, I mean, 11 minutes did stand out to me, but I'm gonna be honest. So did 26. And I don't know what the answer to any of this is. Mm. Mike talks about rotate. There's only so many minutes that can be given out. So I don't know how I can make an argument to simultaneously increase Malik's minutes and Keon's minutes while still knowing Kevin needs to be on the basketball floor to kind of be on the basketball floor and get going again.
Well, somehow, some way. I don't know if this works for the matchups, but somehow,
I just realized Kevin didn't play in the fourth quarter at all.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he did not play in the fourth quarter at all. Malik played 7 minutes. Keon played 1. Alex Lynn played 4. There were Doug McDermott minutes.
Yeah, it started the fourth
quarter. In the fourth quarter. Yeah. He played 5:32. Nothing for Kevin in that one.
The answer to that, where you find the minutes a little bit, was, I mean, DeRozan and Keegan can't play 43.
Yeah.
You're probably taking 8 to 10 minutes off of them a piece.
Is this where we start to workshop the Kevin to the 3 at different points, and maybe Keon is at the 2 there,
yeah,
or Malik is at the 2 and Keon's at the 1 or something like that?
Yeah, potentially. De'Aaron played 37 minutes last night. He averaged 36 last year. Sabonis averaged 36. But Keegan averaged 33. And like you said, he'd probably go up a little bit. He'd probably be more 35 this year. So you're taking 8 to 10 minutes away from him on the regular. And that also could be matchup based as well. Like if you've got the matchups to not have to have Keegan out there the way they did last night because of Ant-Man and Julius Randle being out there, you can get away with more minutes for Keon or for Kevin Huerter. But those two, and Mike talked about it, you know, having them play 43 minutes apiece, obviously is not going to be the norm. So that's 16 minutes right there, I would say. 8 minutes apiece for both of them. That's 16 minutes. Maybe you can find 3 more minutes for Malik,
mm-hmm.
3 more minutes for Keon Ellis or something like that.
Let's go to the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Let's hear from you, 916-909-1320. We'll start with Donald. Donald, what's up, man?
Hey, fellas. You know, Kenny, I've been hearing you in regards to you saying or feeling that this team needs to match other teams bucket for bucket and shot for shot, that they need to give back to the offense of what they had the previous year. Mm-hmm. I get that, but you cannot, and I can't put any more emphasis, you cannot give up 23 pointers in one game. It is not sustainable to give that up. So you look at it on both sides. What was more egregious, the 23 pointers they gave up or the 11 that they hit? Me personally, it's the 23 pointers that they gave up. And with this team, you know, if you have to depend on Keon Ellis to be your stopper and, you know, shut that water off, man, I don't know. And I'm not giving up. I mean, the season's just beginning. I'm just saying that 23 pointers is just not sustainable.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think
I think 23s was an outrageous number.
The league is now.
With you, like I don't.
They shot it 50 times.
Maybe he watches his games on NBA ESPN Classic or NBA TV or something. Like
that's
I'm
what
not
the league
sure.
is now.
Like yeah, I didn't. I mean. Truthfully, he asked the question. He gave his answer. Donald, mm-hmm. appreciate you. I'll give you mine. It's the 29 that the Kings took. Mm-hmm. They averaged 36 last year. Mm-hmm. They shoot their average number and their average makes. I think they went by two?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But this is, again, that thing where you saw something in the preseason, and it carried over here into this first game, and it leaves you wondering, like, is that what this team is?
I thought Jesse was saying something. We're going, because I got something to say to that, but we can go get Mitch real quick.
Okay, let's get Mitch. 916-909-1320, the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. What's up, Mitch?
How you guys doing? Fastening seatbelts.
Okay, they're fastened. Let's okay. cook, Mitch.
Hey, first of all, a little small. It was a good game, but to me, it looks like Minnesota got the best of that deal.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you.
Randall, I mean, he's underrated. He's a good player. And he's 6'8", so he's not 6'4", like Charles Barkley. And Casey, I'm surprised you're not wearing a New York Yankee or Rutgers hat there, right? You got the colors, at least the Rutgers colors there.
Well, I'm not worried about Rutgers today. You know, I mean, I know they're playing USC. It's a crazy Friday down in L. I get it, but no, Rutgers is fine. SC can win. That's okay.
Sometimes
you see teams are playing. All the LA teams are playing down there. You got the Lakers. They can move USC to tomorrow. I mean, it's come over here at 11 o'clock tonight. It's so ridiculous. You know, the sun rises in the east. Okay, you remember that? Yeah, okay,
there it is. This yes. Okay, goodbye, Mitchell. Goodbye, Mitchell. the slow Jesse fade.
Which is my guy, but once we got to the LA traffic story or whatever.
What are
they
doing? Like, I just want the Chatty House to start fighting with each other again. Like, I don't know what's been going on these last two calls.
We got TC on the line.
Y'all, TC will fix this. 916-909-1320, the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. TC.
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
You get a job over there too, TC?
Huh?
No, never mind. Go ahead, TC. That's my bad.
Hey, y'all kidding up, D-Lo. Y'all kidding up. Hey, look. But, hey, I got a different approach on the game. I seen what I needed to see. I know it's more to see it, but, like, it was bigger than that. Keegan got more of a bag. He got the turnaround. He's driving. He catching it on the run and, like, firing a three, like, I've seen enough. DeRozan had his money. I mean, that little stint with him
trying to find his bag and get his shot. Everybody kick back and let him do his thing. That's kind of his thing, though. Fox getting those moments, too, though. I want to see the ball move, but I've seen a lot, bro, like what I need to see. That shows you how scary this team is, right? We weren't even clicking on all cylinders, bro, and we lost by two. So imagine if we clicking.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. They got things to work on. You know what I mean? There's one of those things where either way, you know, I knew there was going to be a lot of dissecting this game and, you know, feeling one way or another. They looked good last night. I need them to keep a level of focus and play at a high level on Saturday and play at a high level consistently. So, and not saying TC saying this or you or anybody else is saying this, but just because they look good last night, I still need to continue to see it. I need to see a level of focus and commitment to playing at a certain level every night. Because if they can do that, now we're talking about a 51 team. But I got to see it. They haven't earned the right yet to just assume that that's what's going to happen. Say like, oh, when they get it together, they're going to start cooking. No, let's get it together first, and then I can rely on this. This is how you
approach
the game.
We'll get it together now.
Yeah,
like you've got.
Well, they had it yesterday. I mean, keep it going.
Yeah, you've got you've got your first. Okay, you had your first home game. Great, you got your first road trip. It's to L.A., but still. You got your first road game coming up, and you've got the Los Angeles Lakers. You got a unique matchup right there. You have a big basketball team over there. You have you have Anthony Davis, who's coming off an MVP caliber first game of the season. Mm-hmm. The greatest player of all time is over there. You know, they have another Kings killer from Julius Randle to D'Angelo Russell. Yeah.
They're going to be playing on a back to back, both at home though.
Who they got tonight?
Phoenix.
Oh, that's right. 41st matchup between LeBron.
That's pretty
and
cool. I never circle that matchup for whatever reason, mainly because they didn't play for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But that's cool. That is up there. KD versus LeBron. That's always cool to see.
And they were showing on NBA TV. They have some pretty dope moments together. Mm. Of course, that dagger. I'll never forget that shot from KD over LeBron James.
Game three.
Just nuts. Like, oh, man. Mm. That is tough. That is absolutely tough. What's not is heading over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. They make everything easy for you. They make everything easy for us. You can even take advantage of the free nutritionist consultation they are offering you. You can do that consultation through Zoom, phone, in person, email, whatever your vibe is. They'll help you, and it's free. It is completely free. Go to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. Book that free nutritionist consultation. If you're a little more advanced and you just want to use the macro calculator, find out what types of foods you need to be eating for specific goals, perfect. They got that there for you. And, of course, the link to maptrition.com is right there on the page for you. That will take you to where you can purchase the strength enhancers, the fat burners, the cravings crushers, the protein powders, all of the good stuff that I take to help me stay in great shape and keep my fitness, more importantly, on a high level. It's trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. We're going to be out at the Granite Bay facility tomorrow morning. Really excited to shoot some video out there with our man Leezy and let you guys inside that awesome facility that they have in Granite Bay. We'll come back. We'll continue our Kings coverage. There was a football game last night that actually has some ramifications on the San Francisco 49ers. Who got the Dallas Cowboys this weekend? We'll talk about it. Steve and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Tasha says she wanted more music.
Hey, Tasha.
I lost the record.
Uh-oh.
I did. I had one I was going to play. I straight up lost it.
I was download the rejoiner all fast, too, because I thought you were going to play something.
Wow, I lost it because I was going to do something different. Cause every once in a while you get a little crush and you just gotta go
baby.
Back
to work.
Gotta go come back to work.
Man. Come on, man.
Just trying to put y'all up on game.
All day.
Just putting y'all up on game. We got you. The evolution of R&B.
Oh man. I like the days when you just heard an R&B record. I didn't need the rap verse. Anything, just let it say. They still do it out there, though. Shout out to the Raheem Devon. Well, shout out to the October Londons.
Well, shout out to the Summer Walker. She dropped a new track today. Last night, I should say.
But we still got that R&B. You got to search for it a little bit, but they still got that.
It's a little bit
of work. Like I said, October London's doing his thing. He's kind of, shout out to my boy Lucky Day. He's still doing it, man. They still out here. They still out here.
Let's get our man Manny in here. Great to see Manny last night at the game. Manny, what's going on, brother? Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's up, buddy?
I got to bring back the end when you got that deep voice. You're like, hey, girl, I've been sitting here thinking about you.
It's weird when you do it because you breathe funny. Like, it's just weird, man.
No, don't do that, okay. I'm on the thing, man. Don't do that.
Yeah, nah, you can't do that. You can try it at a live show because it might sound better in the microphone. Because I heard Flashback Friday is coming to a live show. But I'm just saying.
Hey, but... You just ruined it, D-Lo. Sorry, though.
I ruined it. You was over here breathing heavy.
Always got to talk about me, man.
I love you, brother.
Kevin Herter. I personally am watching him play. I liked what I saw a lot of. Like, I thought he played hard on defense. I liked the way he was cutting. I liked what he was doing. I know the shots didn't fall necessarily, but that all comes with time. He hasn't played for a long time. And I'm just not as hard on him as everybody else has been. Like, I see a lot of good things out of him. He looked like he had a lot of energy out there when I was watching him. So I think it's still going to take time. And like I said earlier, I'm the insider. Like, it's going to take 15, 20 games. It's going to take a minute to be able to really see what this team is and watch them gel. And we know what some of the weaknesses are already, but we also don't know what some of these guys might be able to do within this current team's evolution. So we're going to see what happens, and we just got to be along for the ride.
Yeah, I think there's – I appreciate you, Manny, as always, brother. I think there's a lot of evolving to do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.